Capital 263.
Welcome to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba.
I'm Upenyu Makoni Matenga.
And I am Tawanda Henry Beatty. And yes, welcome to the best political podcast in the world. And I think this week we're bringing you the mayhem. the mayhem. The night of long knives, or the week of long knives, and the Ides of March in October, if you guys know what we mean.
Beware the Ides of March.
You are stealing from Magaisa. Jatrovesa. As G40
conspirator was plotting the cafe together.
I just want to put out a disclaimer. I am not part of this. I'm still the Secretary General of my own alliance.
That wants to rule.
Let me categorically state. Rima Plot Cafe, Nana G40. I've never been there. I don't know. Ameno wana mati gari Henry Aruku kuti.
Ame am Lacoste.
You know, people stay trying to give me arrested.
Satya Zara wako.
I don't know what you're talking about, bro. No, jokes aside. We have an action packed podcast this week. But yeah, I don't know what are we covering today, guys?
So today is the 8th of October. On the lineup, Parley Roundup. That's the new that we've got. Thanks to Upenyu.
Live from Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
The lady from Harare got me feeling like Mugabe.
You know.
Shout out to Tex.
Got a market roundup as well. That's also a new that we've got. Shout out to the people at IH Securities for their weekly and valuation table. And then we have... now I lost it. What's happening?
But you know, IH should pay us for advertising, don't you think?
Who
IH? Yeah, no. We'll send them a bill.
Yeah, we'll invoice them.
We have the voters registration update.
Yes.
And then, broadly speaking, the going-ons in the Patriotic Front ZANU-PF.
such as it remains.
Yes. And a possible cabinet reshuffle. And I think then we'll see.
So more speculation coming. Whoop.
Yes, more speculation coming. And then we will see if we can round up with some news from the activists and perhaps a quick touch on our first manifesto or second manifesto. Mm. But our first from a presidential candidate.
Yes. From a political party.
Any party, Rimunwe.
BZA.
It exists on the internet, so it must be real.
It's his party. BZA is a party.
Okay, let's get into it. We've got a lot to
build Zimbabwe Alliance. Anyway, Upenyu, what's happening in Parliament?
Okay, so this week in Parliament, Honorable Maridadi gave a PowerPoint presentation, shout out to STEM, featuring Grace Mugabe's new car and Patrick Chinamasa's ignorance on the economy. Honorable Majume asked, what is the date of birth of the Registrar General Tobaiwa Mdede? And if he's over 65, why has he not been retired? Apparently, she's been asking this question for some time, and the responsible ministry has yet to supply an answer. So we'll wait to hear, because she, you know, her and the speaker had a conversation about, this must be the last time that I ask this without an answer. Then there was a ministerial statement from Honorable Mfumira. The Ministry of Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare setting up a task force. I'm sure there'll be brand new cars coming soon, responsive to the needs of children. Okay. And then my... Sorry?
No, go ahead.
Okay. And then my two favorite quotes from this week. The first one is from Honorable Maridadi in the aforementioned presentation. And he said, "This country needs peace and security. When you have the president telling us secrets of his deputy in public, that is a source of conflict. I know ZANU-PF are going to keep quiet because that is a hot potato. You cannot have a president haranguing his deputy in public. You cannot have that and vice versa. You cannot have a vice president saying bad things about his senior in public. It must not happen." And then the second one was from Eddie Cross. "We have been conducting public hearings for the last 3 days under the Budget and Finance Committee. Yesterday we were in Chikomba, and the chief of the district was there with us. He spoke at the end of the meeting very passionately and asked where the burial place of the Zimbabwe dollar is. Why has it died? He does not understand what happened, but he does know that we killed it." So,
it's in Monomotapa.
It's buried under Monomotapa building.
Yes.
Mikaemi.
It's memorialized by a gravestone with a Jongwe capstone. And they dined upon it.
Very soon there shall be saboteurs amongst us, I can tell.
They're already there. Mwombe umunda.
It's only in Zimbabwe where you can sabotage something that's already broken.
That's interesting. I read up a bit the Hansard Yamaritadi, and shout out to him. He's been a great MP. These are some of the more vocal MPs in Parliament. Unfortunately, their side is handicapped in terms of numbers. So a lot of the things they say, well, a lot of the things he says, just, you know, goes with the wind, so to speak, because nobody really cares. Even Yama Jome on Mudebe, who really, he's old, I think.
He's not only is he old, but he has also served more than two terms as the RG, you know, so he should have been retired anyway, not even because of his age.
Is there a limit?
Yeah, there's a limit. It's like the Register General is like the Reserve Bank Governor. You only get two terms. But then they say, for him specifically, my understanding is that they're using the fact that the new constitution passed, so his terms were reset somehow. That's my understanding of that situation. I could be wrong, and if any of our listeners have more information on that, I'm more than willing to be corrected. But my understanding was that it was actually a big issue at some point, but they were saying that because there was a new constitution, his terms then started again, whereas the Reserve Bank governor was replaced, which, you know, doesn't add up to me.
To answer Jesse Majome's question, he was born on the 11th of January 1944, which makes him 73, KwaZimba, which probably explains why he has not left office yet. And he assumed office in 1980.
But just on this Mazowe side.
Oh.
Is where he's, Kunoba Mbuyaneanda is where he's originally from, because he's always going on about how he's a custodian of that. He actually had a dispute over chieftaincy, Yeku Ningirikin Kwawe Koko. So,
okay.
That's also where Grace Mugabe has a new office, isn't she? Was talking about leaving the statue there, Kwakava Mwene and the Kokwezo.
Yes. She's...
That's where she does the philanthropic work with the underwear and whatnot.
Well, there you go. Shall we not comment? I still live here.
To the economic, is there any good news coming out of IHS?
Market cap has risen 8.33% to close at 13.38 billion. So it keeps going up. People buying shares because they don't trust what's happening in the economy with their money. And then news highlights: government is shelling out 5 million towards payment of gold delivered by small-scale miners which is weighing down the availability for physical cash for ordinary citizens. So if you want to know where your money is going, that's where it's going. Chambo, Pama, Makurokoza, Mari, for gold. Mari. I think they want to, I don't know. Well, they don't have US dollars, so they're just going to get as much gold as they can, I suppose. And then Zimbabwe is working on a 56 million facility with the African Export and Import Bank to support importation of fertilizer for the coming agricultural season. I'm not sure how that works because I thought we produced fertilizer actually.
I thought the money is not going to Zimforce. I don't understand. Why would you import?
Or maybe it's the importation of raw materials for fertilizer.
It is.
Yeah, following the success of specialized import substitution program at Commander Croucher, the importation of fertilizer and raw materials remained among top priorities to avert potential shortages.
Fertilizer and raw materials.
And then, the last one, the Zimbabwe Consolidated Diamond Company will this month begin conglomerate mining following the near depletion of alluvial diamonds at the Chiadzwa Diamond Fields. ZCDC took over operations from the private players and now it's a consolidated mining company and... everything else has been performing well, according to Patrick Chinamasa, gold, platinum, chrome, and now they want diamonds to start to shape up.
Okay.
Please say it.
You know? Okay.
Kind of 15 billion.
Otherwise,
Where's the money? Show me the money.
We accounted for like a billion of it that's going to the university, the Robert Mugabe University.
It's not like there's a billion cash in the bank somewhere. They're saying they're going to take a billion out of what we make in the future to build that university.
Don't worry about the finer details. Just know
all I'm saying is show me the receipt. That's what I want to see. Show me the receipt.
Yeah, you see, that's a really important point. Show me the receipt. The president came up, was last year or the year before?
I think it must have been last year.
Last year, around his birthday.
Yeah.
And said 15 billion gone. And it's just been, you know, I mean, we pingered for a little bit and now it comes up every now and again. But really, there's been no accountability. Not even Parliament has, because it's mostly ZANU-PF. But there really hasn't been a sustained effort within those structures to actually find out what happened. Because really, there should have been some sort of inquiry that was set up. But no, hapana.
But we can't, you know, this accepting of Habana Habana while we don't know. People inverting their pockets for us in government, like, well, you know, I don't have it. That's unacceptable.
Our government, do you have to go home without protest?
So what needs to happen?
Chinamasa is the master of that.
What needs to happen people, what options do people have? The first one is... to vote.
Register to vote and then voting.
Register to vote and vote.
I'm going to start saying, if don't just register to vote, vote them out of power, because I think it's not enough just to say I'm registered to vote. You must also know where to vote for, please, guys. That's the one thing I always find interesting about these things is that without the it almost seems like if you were to get rid of the government or the whole government, as it were, as custodians of the economy, we would be able to recover from this situation, because even under such circumstances, we're seeing, you know, if it's almost like we're seeing growth and we're seeing, you know, things happening. So while I'm always reluctant to give, the government credit, I'll give Zimbabweans credit, is that Yeah, no, you're making it happen. So, you know, hopefully you get a government you deserve, and we actually see some of these industries produce the type of prosperity that we deserve as a country.
Are you saying we don't deserve this government?
No.
No, I don't think anyone has done anything to deserve
Goblin and crew. Who did we piss off to get this, to get this government? What did we do? And I want to undo it. I want to write a letter of apology. That's what I want to do.
I'm not a voter. And we discussed last Ningirikini, the youth didn't vote. 1.9 million of them did not vote. Didn't even register to vote.
Speaking about voter registration.
You so you deserve it. I'm not a voter.
The voters, the registration blitz have been announced by Zach, haven't they? And there's a 168-page document with all the voters' registration stations and places and phases that's floating around out there. For those of you on the Politics and Beyond WhatsApp group, you've had sight of this, and Sir Nige was kind enough to also share a Excel version, so you can actually see what phases your closest voters registration centers are. But that starts it starts next week, doesn't it?
Starts on the 10th, which is tomorrow, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, starts on the 10th, which is Tuesday. There's four phases. The 10th to the 26th is the first phase. I think the second phase is the 29th of October till, I'm not sure when, sometime in November. If you take a look at the document, we'll also share it on our Facebook and Twitter pages. It'll show you which phases they are, and just look up your ward, if you know your ward, or the area that you stay, and you can find the nearest registration station to you, or you can go to any registration station, and they'll just, as long as you have the details of which ward you're in, and they'll post your details to that specific ward.
Yeah. All right, so
please make sure you register to vote. The opportunity is there.
Also, for anyone without an ID, they're still running a free mobile registration program nationwide. I think it's 3 months from September. When is that? Until December. Yeah, until January 1, I guess. Yeah. So you still have an opportunity to regularize your documents if you didn't have documents, if you don't have your birth certificate, you lost it, you moved, whatever. You don't have your ID, same thing. Please go and get that sorted out, because without it, you can't vote, obviously. Also, it's just important to have your identity documents on you. People are being de-citizenized. daily. So claim your rights, go and register to vote. It's very important.
So what else? I mean, on that, it was interesting to see, or I was very disappointed to see that political parties have to pay $10 per an agent to observe the process at registration centers. I just think that it's. I mean, how is BZA going to afford it?
What do you mean? How is BZA going to afford it? Manikaka bako America shamara ane beg.
No, but you understand, if a political party wanted to put an agent in every registration center, they'd have to fork out something like at least a minimum 100,000 for their agents. So, what I take offense to is that. It's almost prohibitive in allowing, because it's there for transparency, and if you're making it so expensive for parties to be able to observe, you're not doing yourself any favors in the way of transparency.
We need money for stationery.
Particularly given that this process is largely financed by the UNDP,
is it think still? That I thought we
the servers and stuff. They've now drawn on that UNDP facility, which was another thing that I found interesting in Justice Rita's speech, is that she admitted that the server that they've got is going to need a sister server because it was insufficient to deal with the needs of the registration as it was at the moment, and the blitz hasn't started. So these are small things that might go under the radar. But yeah, they've drawn on the UNDP facility to get a second server in.
What the hell kind of server do you know? I thought it just stored data.
I don't know how they're doing their data, whether because you'd obviously need a centralized storage and also transmit. But it's expensive because it's not just a name and an ID number, it's biometric data as well, which I assume if you're looking to register 7 million people will take up a lot of space, and storage itself
and it
is expensive.
It needs to be encrypted as well, because you don't want it hackable.
Storage itself, exactly.
So can we donate my you know those, what are they called, hard drives? Those my terabyte hard drives. To Zig. I think if we all get together, guys, honestly,
I
get together and donate one each.
I don't think that's a wise idea, because you'll just find that hard drive replaced with another one, or you'll find that hard drive
Chris,
is corrupted.
Chris will have nowhere to store his blue movies.
And do you own your hard drive, Yacho?
That's why data bus 4 was so important.
Interesting things happening with the voter registration campaigns.
Oh, yes. That's a brilliant thing to bring up.
Team Yellow has a... they don't have a party, so I just call them Team Yellow.
Team Maeri.
The Be the Change campaign, guys.
Yes, Be the Change campaign.
Name. Team
Maeri. Mm. Auntie, we spoke about colors last week and identifying... the Be the Change campaign...
The Be the Change campaign.
Started a campaign to... they're giving out prizes for people who register the most people to vote.
Students who register
no,
the
there's,
most.
No, there's different Ningirikini. There's one for students where you can win a laptop. There's one for, I suppose, everyone where you can win a month's worth of groceries. And there's another one, I think the overall one, where you can win a scooter. So, I think if you visit Fadzai Mahere's Facebook page or Twitter page, you should be able to
get more. FadziForMP.com, her website.
But do you owe us money? We're sending you an invoice for that shout-out to your website.
Everyone will give shout-outs today. But yeah, so you can check that. I thought that was quite interesting. It's something people aren't doing. There hasn't been, or I haven't seen, a drive to get people registered to vote. And trust me, kuzanpf kunenge kwakarongeka, those guys are definitely working, especially in their, their respective strongholds. They have the cells, they have the structures, and it's just about the chairman of cell of Ward 3, whichever, district, to say, right, everyone in my cell, let's go voter registration, and all 20 people in his cell will go. And that's how they operate. So it's good to see other people mobilizing, or finding ways to mobilize people to register. Please register to vote.
Well, yeah. I think it's a noble idea, but I find it dangerous when political entities and people seeking office, Fadzi included, are the ones registering voters. Because my question is, what is the role of civil society? They're not like Asuka. You can't just stand by the side and comment. And for me, it's disturbing, and I wonder what's going on when it's not a civil society issue to register voters, but it's a candidate issue to register voters, because that's exactly how we got here in the first place. So whoever's listening, the promises and so forth, maybe let's put our money to better use.
Yeah, youth. I don't know whether that was intentional, but that
was Freudian. Yes.
That's Freudian. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good segue. But you're right. I agree. The civil society needs to stand up. But also because so many of them have become politicians, and this is not including, this is not starting with Fadzi. You saw a lot of the early civil society leaders, Madukus, your I suppose your BTs. A lot of these guys have become politicians. So civil society lost a lot of that energy, and perhaps lost a lot of that. That fourth estate, if that's even the correct word.
Fourth estate is generally the media, but also them. Also them.
Yeah, so fourth estate as well. Impartiality that would allow them to not be attacked by ZANU saying, my NGO, my central opposition. Because at some point it was true is that if you worked for an NGO, you went on to become an MP, MDC MP. So it's like everything in the economy, the civil society, in my opinion, is
bankrupt. Paraplegic. Is the word you want to look for. Is bankrupt. Bankrupt.
Yes, morally and financially.
Emotionally.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that really one who don't respond to civil society much anymore. I mean, especially now that we're getting closer to the elections, people are looking for something concrete. And really, if the civil society is not going to take up this role of voter registration, then of course the politicians and the political parties will step in and do what needs to be done. I mean, at the end of the day, they are the ones who need the voters. So if people don't register, they don't get votes. So they are going to do as much as they can to incentivize people to register to vote, whilst at the same time appealing them to them to vote for them.
Yes. Yeah.
And to combat psychology, I say, while you're giving rice from Marupa Maskuta, Saga, you must step your game up.
Shamwari, let me ask you, kuti muna anu ibi skuta mdumbu mwine nzara?
Ani ndakuba, sir?
Ani ndanei?
Ni skuta ya
kuta majiri. Shamwari, skuta mshika 5 rand kutao newa nwako 3.
Guys,
you must think like a rally hustler.
Sanu 3 pa scooter. Ah, paka ipa.
You should go to Asia. You'll see it. how bad it is. I don't know about some of us. Nema dumbu edu, but
we are not. We can't look east for everything.
to the government.
So, Upenyu briefly mentioned Promise, and there's an interesting story. Promise Makwananzi, who was Kwananzi. Kwananzi, thank you. Who was the spokesperson of Tajamuka last week? Tendered his resignation, I suppose, or he stepped away from the role because of allegations coming
temporarily stepped aside, yes,
because of allegations from a lady in America about him abusing funding that she had been providing to him to Tajamuka, not to him, it was funding for Tajamuka for amongst other things youth to go out and get people to sign petitions amongst other things, and over and above the fact that he was also getting an allowance from this lady. So it was, you know, somewhat of a blow for Tajamuka, because he basically has been the face of it. And yeah, it sort of shows kuti apana akachena, but for my part, not to dwell on the issue, anyone who's known Promise from even his days in the MDC, anyone who's known Promise when he went to the Netherlands and came back, akabata maoko, anyone who's known the reasons that Promise didn't take up his Chevening scholarship. I understand Kuti, he's got a very fractious relationship with honesty and money, historically speaking. So,
it's not news to you?
No. It wasn't news to me. It wasn't news to me at all. I'm sure Pane Madonaka wonder who are aware of these things.
Well, my question is, why do other state and non-state actors, they seem to fund the same sort of person, if that makes sense? You remember a few years back, Kwakunenyaya, McDonald Lewanika, and Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and it fits the same sort of profile, you know, kuti donor funding that's meant for regime change, such as it were, ends up building houses and buying cars. So I feel like maybe we need to really sit down and think about the people we're funding, especially because nothing has changed in the last 10, 20 years, and yet billions of dollars have been spent towards this. And yeah, let's re-strategize, guys. Let's sit down, let's engage, let's have a meeting, preferably in a hotel.
Yes. And if you have money to be giving these people, I know this these three political podcasters who could very much use your money.
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah,
if you could pay me in an external account.
Very transparent.
We need to pay for Open News Internet. And make sure that we also need, you know, we've got other things that we need to get, other mics so that we can go out and interview people out on the street and not have to worry about, you know, a lot of things. So, we are open.
We are open
mm-hmm. to receiving but funds.
Does anyone else get that shrug when you hear a corruption story? Like, I'm so desensitized to corruption.
Mm.
I feel like after we got over 15 billion, I can't be angry.
No, but
like I'm so desensitized. Like, you hear kuti Zimdev funds have been stolen, I'll be like, shrug. You know, like, you hear kuti, you know, the 5 million that was paid to Intratrek Winknow's company to build that Gwanda project, they've had to pay more money to a different company to actually do the project. And I'm like, shrug, no Zimbabwe.
Did they get their money back?
No one gets their money back, please.
And where will they get their money back?
Really, it's a shame that it's not surprising when you hear that Ningi is corrupt or this, you know, there was corruption of this sort. But it's the fact that nothing happens.
Yes.
Like, literally nothing happens. This promise story has come out, you know, it was hot for a couple of days, and then that's just it, you know. They release a statement, he steps down.
6 months later, he'll be back.
Yeah, but there's no sort of real investigation into the issues. You know, this was all made public on Facebook. We don't even know the extent or how truthful this person was being. I didn't see any receipts. You know, I'm sure they are there somewhere. But it was just put out there, and that's it. We have this, you know, full shock for a couple of days, and we're like, you know, some people will say, I told you, look at these activists. I'm sure, you know, the Herald must have had a field day. It then just becomes, okay, moving on. When's the next one happening? And we expect another one to happen.
But the thing is, I think that comes from the people. It comes from us, not necessarily the office holders or the people. You know, if we're constantly looking for a messiah, then it's easy to overlook someone with a history of corruption, right? If we're, you know, waiting for someone to save us rather than taking the responsibility for saving ourselves as people, as individual voters, etc., then it's difficult for you to say the promises, the changirais, I'm sorry, I had to get a dig in, and so forth. It's difficult to hold them to accountable because we say that the cause is greater. But the means must justify the end, and the person who gets us to the end must be worthy of that. And I know it's idealistic to say that, but how do you hold Jonathan Moyo accountable if you yourself are stealing $5 from the till? Yeah, it's very difficult to do that. That's the truth.
That's the truth. I don't know. I had a retort for you, Shangira, I think, but I'm going to let it go.
please, guys.
Chamisa said Shangira is Moses, and biblical scholars will tell you the thing about Moses is while he led the people through the desert, he never made it to the promised land. So I feel Pastor Chamisa actually knew what he was saying when he said that Shangira is our Moses.
Anyway, what I want to know is why are you guys going to kick a man when he is ill?
Let me retract that statement.
Savage is looking very healthy. He's come back.
Let the sick take care of the sick. And by that, I mean... let me not finish my statement.
You want to put him and Mugabe next to each other and Karenya to our word team?
Let's actually move it.
You guys finish that statement off. Inini Nangota or Ajanda Tower. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's so much to talk about. We'll get them ice cream from Gushungu Days. Maybe Neka Yogurt.
speaking of things that aren't things, we can move on to our next point.
Are you not
about what Vice President? Was called and Swansea is nothing. Why would I want to kill him?
Emerson Dambudzo. Mnangagwa. I mean, honestly, Henry, it's been how long we've been doing this?
How long have you been out of the country? And now you can't even Kuluma like the rest
I've never
of
been
us.
Able, I've never
He's never been,
been
able,
able
to I've say never. That name.
That's why I always say VP. I need to find a nickname for him. But yes.
Can you say Mugabe? So why you say Goblin?
That's a good idea.
Wow,
I never thought
of it that way. Wow.
you're taking away from my point. So
the first lady at a Zimchie meeting, I think they were launching a bank or something.
$10 million. Actually, that's another thing. They got given $10 million by a broke treasury to launch an empowerment bank. Who are they empowering and why didn't anyone get this memo?
It's what for the women, so we can't ask questions.
It's not. Is that the one for the women? Or it's for the youth. They're my youth.
No, this one's for the youth. It's for the youth. Never mind. Ask away.
What do you mean? It was in the news, ka?
It was in the news.
Yes.
Sorry, my youth is.
This is something that Anonzani.
Why am I only outraged today?
No, this is something Joao's been talking about for a while. Every time he pops up, he mentions something about this fund. It's been since last year, I think. It's been a topic of discussion. Yeah. Oh. I'm not sure the details, but it's a facility. It's like the last facility yakabiwa Nema Youth, but this time they're trying.
Nana AC, yakabiwa Nana AC.
Yes, yakabiwa Nana AC, that last facility. But this time, I don't know how they're structuring it. We should actually get more details on that. But yeah, this is a new facility. Sakakana muri my youth and you have my projects. Go find out. Kune mari dzirikupi wo gogo. Don't miss out.
Actually, my youth is not my youth. Get it right.
Because ZANPF card, actually, is it hard to get? Go and become a youth. Oh!
But some people are uncompromising.
You will narrow it, Kadra.
Okay, sorry.
We always try and be honest on this podcast. You know that.
But I don't have one.
You know, people on this podcast need to declare their interests and assets.
No, honestly, you know,
move on.
Assets. Anyway, back to the issue. The first lady. Who is also the secretary of the ZANPF Women's League, who is also, I don't know anymore, who is also, anyway.
The wife of the president.
I said the first lady, gosh, clearly she has to be the wife of the president.
No, you have to really emphasize that. I saw a speech where she was
Anyway, yeah, she came out, she made a speech and it was quite charged. And she said that she is the wife of Mugabe. And she why would she try to kill the vice president? Who's the vice president? Yeah, he's nothing. He's an employee. He was employed by her husband. Her husband, who she said is a faithful man, who doesn't do bambazonke. He only has eyes for the first lady. I don't know why she brought that in. To be quite honest, that was.
It's a slight guy against the vice president because on the political streets he's infamous. You remember that they're talking about that Majonga, the guy who was thrown out, defenestrated out of the
Yes.
So that defenestration story about how they were fighting over a girlfriend, and then if you remember. A few years back, the vice president also got into a car crash by himself in his Benz. It was also said that he was coming from a girlfriend's house. So I think it was directed. Those who knew what she was talking about. See. I think
who is this girlfriend with such superpowers?
I don't think there's one.
And it's interesting you say that because then the president then said yesterday at when he was speaking to at the youth meeting here ZANU-PF, kuti some of you tinongo nzwa kuti uyu mwana waningi every time we are on the streets we just say uyu mwana waningi you have so many children. Then he said if you want to have many wives, go about it the correct way. Yeah. So yeah. I suppose that's where the jibe comes from. Anyway, she came in and she said Kanama Pererwa, the first lady, Kanama Pererwa, then Chisi Aiba Saracho, essentially, this is to the vice president saying, don't come and say I was trying to kill you. It shows that you are all out of ideas and you are desperate, and if you can't handle the job, then quit. Yesterday, at the youth meeting, she got up, she gave a slogan, and she said, Ratakataura, Takataura, and she sat down, and everyone was expecting her to say.
No, she said Pamberine na
she said Pamberine vice president, yeah. Her slogan, and then she said, Takataura, Ratakataura.
She mentioned by name.
Yes. and then she sat down and everyone was quite shocked. They thought more fireworks were coming. But then the president spoke and he came out with all the fireworks. But backstory to that is that when the president was in South Africa, where did he go?
South Africa.
When he was in South Africa, acting president at the time, Vice President Mpoko read the riot act, so to speak, at Vice President Mnangagwa. He wrote a letter in which he accused him of insubordination.
Bringing the office of the president into disrepute.
Yes, that's the one. Because Vice President Mnangagwa made a speech in which he said what happened to Mahoka is what happened to me, and everyone assumed it.
What happened to Mahoka in Vic Falls is what happened to me in Gwanda. So this is at Shuai Mahofa's memorial service. For those that would recall, in 2015 in Vic Falls, Shuai Mahofa had a bout of poisoning. Non-food related poisoning. It's now important to point out because semantics have become so important in this. And so the insinuation is that while the vice president said agrees, or the president said that it wasn't the food he ate, he wasn't food poisoned, he didn't have food poisoning. In Gwanda, what he was saying was that I was poisoned. I'll steal from a guy say if anyone who understands the implications of that is who would poison him in Gwanda and who was also poisoning the late Maima Ofa. So it is of course a direct and an almost intentional attack on G40, I suppose, and by by proximity, the vice president, the first lady and the president himself. Obviously, Maofa, her memorial service was held in the belly of the beast in the strongholds, or where the vice president feels most comfortable. So, there's a debate whether they were calculated or whether they were off the cuff, but I think that they were calculated statements to his loyalists, just to show that perhaps he's aware of what's happening. And that led to the letter from Vice President Fikezile Mpoko.
Fikezile.
Mate.
Pelekezela, actually. That's what it is.
Pelekezela. Yeah,
get it right.
Please. Yeah, I was like, what?
At least I didn't call him Mbogo.
Pelekezela.
I just said I didn't.
Ah, wow. Anyway, yeah, so the letter came.
Anyway.
And then the president returned from South Africa, and there seemed to be a heated exchange between him and Vice President Mnangagwa. It was on ZBC News.
He looked like he was going to cry.
Vice President Mnangagwa, the following day, had a press conference, or the same day, in which he explained what he meant. And he said, what I meant was, my Maofa was airlifted from Vic Falls, went to a local hospital, then airlifted to South Africa. And that's exactly the same thing that happened to me. So it really became a semantics issue. And, everyone was wondering what's going to happen next. G40 seems to be taking this. And by G40, I use Professor Moyo as the...
Professor of Vice Presidential Affairs.
The face of G40, because his reactions on Twitter will tell you where the pendulum is swinging. But he's been on Mnangagwa's case for a while now. And it's very, very upsetting, actually, that you have... not as a Lacoste, but you have a cabinet that is operating like this daily. Literally, these people don't like each other. And some might say they are actually trying to kill each other. And this won't take the country anywhere. This is really just how it's going to be for the next 6 months or so until we get to an election. So, again, as people say, when voting time comes, please vote wisely. So this is a situation, and the president yesterday spoke, and he came out with the big thing out of it was there is likely to be, or there will be a cabinet reshuffle, because there are people who are failing at their jobs. He said some people we put into positions, and they've not executed them the way we want to, both in the party and in government. And so some people...
Does that mean everyone is fired if we're using failing at your job as a criteria, including the president himself?
It's a fair question to ask.
It really is.
It's a fair question to ask.
But that's the rhetoric and not the...
What's on the table.
And that's not even the reason people get fired.
Actual failure is not why you get fired.
It will be to redistribute powers. I'm conflicted over this situation because part of me likes to see Zanu burn, a large part of me, and I want them to fire him, and then I want them to start the dance in another 2 years. But at the end of the day, I see how detrimental it is for the country. But, it's almost a false narrative. It's almost a false argument, because you have people who will say, even if there wasn't factional fighting, they weren't doing anything really for the country. So I can't rely on that argument that we have a cabinet that's not doing its job because they're so focused on factionalism, because that's somehow giving them an excuse or saying that otherwise they would have been able to manage this economy better, or they've been able to run this country better. And I don't believe that they would have been.
Oh, no, no, no. So I'm not
so better that they kill each other, and metaphorically speaking, than,
or in reality,
know,
I mean, than, you know.
I don't
know. Metaphorically.
Yeah. Better they kill each other, metaphorically speaking, than, you know, perhaps Jonathan spends time in his actual office and not tweeting, and decides to change our syllabus, or decides to focus on something, or the Minister of Justice, instead of fighting these factional wars, decides, oh, let me have another constitutional amendment, and actually does his job. So for me personally, I believe that them being distracted by this is actually saving us from more terrible policies and more detrimental decisions being made by them. I would rather them be focused on this and sort of led to the civil service, or the country took on as it is, as opposed to for them having bright ideas and deciding to change things. And that's not even to mention this, you know, this supposed 85-page dossier reply to that Blue Ocean statement. You know, guys, it's so complicated that we might
this
need
is the one that's in 48 point.
Yes, yeah,
that,
yes.
Shame on you guys. Shame. So, that was Comrade Rangamberi, and he must be called for making it quick, because the document we got was like 36 pages, and apparently nonsense.
But anyway, for those who've been listening to the podcast, and I feel sorry for people that aren't as in tune with what's going on, because I can see how confusing these are, because even I'm getting confused. But if you remember, Edmund Kuzedai and Professor Moyo put together a video, a very, very nice, well done, a clean video, the Blue Ocean strategy, about how the vice president was aiming to topple the presidency. The reply, which has been leaked, and which some people are doubting its veracity or authenticity, which has been titled The Anatomy of Party Capture, is so scattered and so convoluted that I have not even finished unpacking it. But a few points to point out is that apparently Nelson Chamisa is working with G40. Apparently Alex Magaisa is working with G40 as a G40 strategist. In fact, if you weren't mentioned in this report, are you even doing anything?
Sakatoga Fijam report.
We go under the broad state of private media.
I mean, no, but aside from that, some of us have declared Kuti Tiruela Coast, and by some of us I mean Matigari. So Matigari na Tesharake.
Declare your interests. Declare.
It's obviously a joke.
No, you know, Inini, that report, why it's a bit iffy is because you know, some of the things, like you said, Chamisa being a G40, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff there that it doesn't seem. It seems very superficial, if that makes sense. Like, it seems like somebody who, a conspiracy theorist, sat down and was like, okay, let me type up all the things, all the little rumors that I've heard, and put into this document. And man, if that's the state or where our vice president is at, well, I'm quite flabbergasted, but it doesn't for me, it doesn't sit well. I'm not
so
fully trusting of it.
I mean I got it from a source, and as well, and it is very convoluted and very, you know, winding. Of course, Professor Moyo is accused of being a CIA spy, this is not a new accusation. And in fact, you know, he has been given, he has given information to the Americans, as has the vice president. And that's, you know, for public record and public knowledge in the WikiLeaks, in the WikiLeaks document. Just go and type Zimbabwe and you'll see who's had conversations with who up until that point. But, you know, to use an analogy, you know, maybe when a crocodile wants to hunt, it first needs to muddy the waters so that it can move in relative obscurity and obfuscate the truth. So perhaps I don't want to give them too much credit, and this is speculation, but perhaps it's intentionally convoluted because they want to muddy the waters, because they want, they do have some sort of successionist plot or successionist idea, and they don't want the truth to be discernible from fiction. They're gaslighting the president. This, they're using the Trump doctrine of if there's so much information thrown at you and so many accusations thrown at you, you'll start to disbelieve everything. Because if you say Professor Moyo is a CIA, you'll say Nelson Chamisa is working for G40, but people are saying Nelson Chamisa is the cause. You see, Magaisa is here. They, eventually the people and eventually even the president will just say, I don't know what to believe. So I believe nothing.
So are you saying that this document could have originated on the G40 side?
Because it's very possible.
It would then serve their interests if all of these, especially the more ridiculous they are, come out and they are said to be of the Lacoste side, then it really then, you know, ends up being a situation where they then say, everything
is possible. And the only person, and the only, I mean, not just from an outsider's knowledge, the only person I know who is that scheming, and, you know, you have to give how Machiavelli and the professor is, I would not put it past, because, you know, even I, from a summary studying of, for example, what's recent history, the American election, these things did happen, and I don't believe for a second that someone as educated as Professor Moy or, you know, Edmund or his team of these brain box young media practitioners don't know the effects of these type of things.
And you know what, for me, is this document, the accusations, like the Magaisa one, came out in The Independent. And that has shown for some time to be on the G40 side, or at least the professor side, Independent and the Standard. If you go back, whenever he wants to make a statement, it will come out in one of those two papers.
What's that?
And that was the first thing that, you know, set off some alarms in my mind, at least, because I really then started to question. I mean, if it was honestly coming from the Lacoste side and they wanted to leak it to the media, they could have. I mean, the Herald is said to be under state capture or under Lacoste capture, so I don't see why it couldn't or wouldn't have leaked there first, you know. But this is, it's all speculation, and it's all trying to infer from past events and from, you know, some of the players that are in there. With regards to the cabinet reshuffle, we'll have more on that when it actually happens. But
we have a special breaking news.
Then Ngoma. Well, I wanted to comment on the
and in, you know, like a draft pick, and in the Minister of the Portfolio of Finance.
Do you think
we have
Gono?
Gono. Did you hear Gono's? Because Gono was also dragged into this thing, into this, and his statement was frighteningly, like, I know Gono knows what he knows.
Apparently, Gono was at Plot Cafe when Magaisa and Jonathan and who else was in that picture? Kasukwere.
And anyone who knows.
I nearly said something.
This is the gay gangster.
I was going to say in the fat one.
Fat one. I like that one. I like that. No, but you can't call him the third one when we have Obed Mbovu.
Oh wow!
True.
but anyway, he's not.
You know why that's? You know why that? You know why it's so believable that Gono was at the Plot Cafe is because, I mean, I know personally, there's a neighborhood. Anyway, the neighborhood that we stay in, all of these guys are sort of concentrated in there. And the Plot is geographically close to Gono's house. And I've personally seen him at the Plot before. It's his local. It's Papadu's in Epamba Park.
I see.
So I wouldn't put it past, because, you know, that Bordeaux, Munzidale area, especially and the funny thing is that you have Gono, you have the Gumbos, you have Kasukwere, you have Prof, you have a bunch of people going there. And the best thing about it is that when you're coming from Munzidale, the fastest route to go is you drive right past the Blue Roof. And you drive right past the Blue Roof. And on the other side of the Blue Roof property, there's a gate which, while Gono was the RBZ governor, he used to use as his personal gate to go from his property, which is located maybe less than 4 or 5 km away, to that Blue Roof. And in fact, it's said that he's the one that actually secured them that piece of land next to Bordeaux Brook there.
Nah, Gono. Will he bounce back?
Will he bounce it?
Finally,
he'll bounce cabinet. Gono's going to be back like the Zim dollar, guys.
I think people, if Gono comes in finance, because as a move, I could see. Chinamasa going justice. To justice. Yeah, I could see Chinamasa going to justice.
Gono finance, Chinamasa justice, Segramai VP, Emerson. Put to Parks and Recreation.
No,
that's,
I don't.
The one that, when Kasukuri was in the wilderness after his youth, what was it called?
No,
he was at
Environment.
Environment. That's Parks. Yeah. That's what they do. Is
Environment,
and water,
but what's his name got shafted to rural the one time ka EM Nangagwa. But I don't think he will be dropped from VP.
But I mean, no, yeah, it's a big call. I can see from the G40 side, I think the big winners will probably be Muzembi. I can see Muzembi moving up. And I think I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. But I can see Muzembi moving up and everyone else remaining the same. But Muzembi being used as the... because he's the least vocal in terms of factional politics, and he being used as their reward. And then, you know what I mean?
So Prof might he's go back to information, which I think he wants.
Yeah, that would be devastating.
People would lose their jobs over at Zim Papers. My way, my salary. I'm on sabbatical, so no.
Didn't you defect to the UK? I thought that's what happened.
I took a sabbatical. You don't just quit a job in Zimbabwe. What are you saying?
The job in Zimbabwe, the job quits you. Yes, so I think we might be disappointed, but the big things that could come out, my conservative estimate says we'll see maybe a few deputy ministers coming up. I think Anastasia Ndlovu might come up. She's young.
Isn't she already a deputy minister? She is.
Yeah, I'm saying to become a full minister.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I can see something like that happening, particularly if G40 wins, because you think that the Joao's of this world and the Mzembis of this world. So if Mzembi does move,
I can see
someone like that.
G40?
Yeah, didn't you see him dancing with them all when twerking for Jeje?
Yeah, but that could just be... I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to.
But he's from Masringo, though, so
yeah.
That's a fair point. But
I don't know if Mzembe.
Anyway, Someone asked an honest question about Emerson's. This is the same thing. This is the same mistake we made with Mujuru about Emerson's actually ability to win an election. When you look at his results, his history, didn't he lose two parliamentary elections himself?
Yeah, he did.
So why all of a sudden, just because he's vice president, do we think he actually has the gravitas to win a national election?
Because he wants to be president.
Simple and clear. The stakes change when it becomes a presidential race. And also I think it depends on the vehicle and what it is that, you know.
Okay. Go ahead.
The overall agenda of the party or the institution that is supporting you. I mean, I'm not saying it's guaranteed that you would win. No, it's far from that. But I think the stakes are quite different.
Okay, so how about this then? How, while we saw with Maimudru, they had to expel, you know, leadership across the country in provinces, people that were on their side. Because she had that organizational capacity behind her. Do we really think that someone who can't organize his own constituency or get proxies that are powerful enough to win him an election in his own constituency is this not just more ado about nothing, and we're actually buying into a story that really...
But you see, the thing is, we said that about Maimudru, but where are those 10 or 9 chairmen now? If she honestly had the structures, she could have set up, she should have been able, as soon as they were expelled, to set up very quickly with all these structures and basically have the biggest power base in Zimbabwe. But where are the Kaukondes or all the other people, and Olivia Mchena, who are said to be on her side? And Shamu's gone back to ZANU-PF.
So
you then begin to question how much of those structures did she really have?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I agree with you. Is that how big really is the cost? How extant is it actually?
No, but
at least with G40, you can point to Prof, you can point to Xavier, you can point to Grace, you can point to Mugabe himself, and say these guys are G40.
Yeah. No, but...
You can point to Emerson and who else?
But this is the argument...
What army?
No, but this is the argument, Ka, that on the Lacoste side, is that who really is, what is Lacoste? Maim Gabe said, G14, Dagatwaga, Ndikashaya, but I know there's a Lacoste, but she doesn't identify, you know, where the structures exactly exist. As far as I'm concerned, it's people with preferences to a... post-Mugabe era. But as long as Mugabe is in power, the structures will always say that they are 100% behind the president. So while people just have preferences for a post-Mugabe era, who would I prefer? But there's no such thing as, you know, when push comes to shove, everyone will abandon whichever side it is. I mean, if you are asked, Kunzi, we all wear G40 and G40 wants to take over and Takurasa G40, you would say Kutandisi and I would rather stay in the party. So people who stay with whichever side supports their interests at the end of the day.
Can I quote Takura Zhangaja on this?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Comrades, this is a soap opera and a bad one. Key ingredients: old patriarch, youngish wife, ambitious right-hand man, daughter, sons, party, private company, poison. These are the days of our lives.
Yes, and which that sums seems it up. Like, yeah, that seems like a very...
In its entirety.
On that bombshell, that seems like a brilliant place to wrap up.
To wrap up, yeah. We didn't talk about BZA's manifesto. I think we can probably...
We can give them more time, or perhaps wait for others to come up. Yeah, but no, definitely we'll definitely chat about the manifestos episode.
Exactly, where we can compare and contrast. I'm pretty sure that they will all be very similar.
In terms of
ideology, in terms of strategies, they're all going to be pretty similar.
But Zimbabwean politics is not about ideology, it's about who's got the power, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, ideologically speaking, they're all on the same side, I think.
Mm.
They're all...
Even ZANU and MDC, they're actually the same. Mm. It's not about that. It's about who
on
has
paper, that is.
The power to allocate resources. Mm.
On paper.
We wait to see.
Yes. So this is going to be called the Days of Our Lives episode.
The Days of Our Lives. The soap opera episode, I think. The soap opera episode.
Yeah.
The soap opera episode.
Fair enough. So you've been listening to... What do we need to say? Follow us on Twitter, Polly and Beyond ZW. On Facebook as well, Politics and Beyond, or Beyond Polly ZW. What else is there? What other information do people need?
Go register to vote.
Yeah, and we'll put up the list of registration centers and their phases in Excel format on our Facebook page. And don't just go register. Take a friend, take a partner, take a boyfriend, take a girlfriend. Boyfriends, take your boyfriends. Girlfriends, take your girlfriends. Mothers, take your sons. Daughters, take your sisters.
You know?
What?
My boyfriends, sergeants, and my boyfriends.
Oh,
not necessarily lesbians. He didn't say no to lesbians, though.
So. Everyone loves.
My boyfriend and boyfriend. Dragaram.
Wow. I'm gonna have to find a way to block that out. Anyway.
Right.
Anyway, you've been listening to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. You can find me at Chris Charamba on all social media. Hello.
Oh, is it me now?
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Yes, it is.
Because I thought I was last. So I was like,
I said this. Go ahead, Upenyu.
Okay. I'm Upenyu Makoni everywhere.
And I'm at Henry BG on all social media. If I said everywhere, I would be lying because sometimes I'm daddy.
Guys,
let's have a record on a Sunday.
I'm in a Raputa. Thanks for listening, guys. Cheers. And now, Capital 263.